just looking at the economic reports coming out of the US last week, and they're almost firm across the board. And so we're really going into the end of the year with pretty strong momentum running through the US economy. Starting with some of the leading indicators, we had the November ISM manufacturing PMI came out last week, and also the non-manufacturing PMI, and both are very, very strong. So we had the manufacturing PMI, well, I say very strong. In the case of the manufacturing PMI, it's still below 50, but it's been creeping up. And so it went from 46.5, going back to October, was expected to maybe make mid-47s. It went to 48.4, so it's still below the 50 mark, but it's going in the right direction for that weakest part of the US economy. And the ISM non-manufacturing PMI, it was at 58.1. You know, these are very, very strong figures for the services part of the economy. That was expected to fall back perhaps into the 56s. It stayed above 58, so it was 58.2. It actually went up one notch. Very, very rare. You see 58 plus 2 months in a row there. And again, another one of these indications that the economy is looking firmer as we look ahead. Some of the other indicators that came out through the course of the week, main one was everything to do with the labour market. So we had initial jobless claims to start with coming out on last Thursday, and they lifted a bit to 224,000 from 215,000. So if anything, they're looking just slightly softer, but they're still a pretty low reading for initial jobless claims. And then we had the non-farm payrolls, and we certainly got the bounce there. It was a bigger bounce than the market expected. So that was reflecting the change from when it was very much knocked around those numbers by the back-to-back hurricanes down in the southeastern states. But in November, non-farm payrolls lifted by 227,000, and the previous month was revised up from 12,000 to 36,000. And that was the month that was very severely affected by, obviously, the hurricane activity. Also, average hourly earnings were stronger than expected. They were up by 0.4% month on month, second back-to-back months of 0.4%. And as a result of that, the annual rate of change stayed at 4%. But if we keep running 0.4s, you're annualising in the high 4s. So this is actually getting stronger at the moment and moving further away from the inflation rate. So real wage growth is very, very firm in the US at present. And of course, that is a warning sign for inflation down the track. The market got slightly excited because the unemployment rate went up one notch. So it went up to 4.2% from 4.1%. But when you put that together with all the other figures, it still looks very, very strong. Some are saying, the lift in the unemployment rate probably means that in the December FOMC meeting, when it comes about, that the Fed can sort of lower interest rates another quarter. Yeah, I think it's going to be pretty line ball. I think they're going to be sort of looking at whether they do need to do another quarter or just pass this coming months. But that's a story for a couple of weeks' time. Now, another one of the leading indicators that was strong, we had the December preliminary consumer sentiment survey, and that went up more than expected. It went up from 71.8 to 74, so strong lift running through there too, which suggests that consumption spending in the US is going to be pretty firm. Looking out through the course of this week, the biggest numbers, obviously the November CPI coming out on Wednesday, and at this stage, the market's looking for a 0.2% month-on-month increase. If that's what happens, the annual rate of CPI change will actually lift a little bit from 2.6 to 2.7. The core CPI, though, is expected to be yet another 0.3%. It's been running 0.3% month-on-month for each of the last 3-4 months. And as a result of that, that would hold the annual rate of change in that at 3.3%. So the CPI in the US is really on that boundary of saying, look, we've got all the benefit we're going to get from inflation falling. If anything, it's starting to base now. And that's going to be the issue, I think, as far as the Fed's concerned when they start looking ahead. We will get some producer prices coming out as well. They're both both November headline PPI and the core PPI are expected to rise by 0.3% month on month, so reasonably firm running through those two. Moving to China, and last week we had the manufacturing PMI. That did, or the cakes in manufacturing PMI. This is the more reliable of the two surveys. We have the official one, which obviously is run by the Chinese government. This one's run by a private agency. And for November, the cakes in manufacturing PMI lifted to 51.5 from 50.3, a bit stronger than expected. So the manufacturing sector in China for the time being looks as if it's doing a little bit better. The cakes in services PMI did have a very good lift the month before to 52. That came back a bit to 51.5, but yeah, both these readings are north of 50. So that's the expansion contraction marker, and you know, it's looking not too bad. Moving into this week, and later on today, we'll get the November CPI coming out of China. That's expected to have fallen again by 0.4%. It fell by 0.3% going back the month before. That will still lead to a little bit of a lift in the annual rate, but to only 0.5% year on year from 0.3%. And producer prices coming out for the month of November, we're at minus 2.9%, expect to be minus 2.8% for the most recent month. So still looking pretty soft there. We'll also get on Wednesday the export and imports for the latest month. They're expected to, or at least exports are expected to come back a bit to 8.5% year on year from 12.7 going back the month before. Imports are expected to lift by 0.3%, but they were very, very weak going back the month before, minus 2.3% year on year. So, you know, reflection of domestic demand still picking up a little, but not much. Moving to Australia, and we had weak numbers relating to Q3, but you know, it doesn't look as if they're going to stay weak running into Q4. So a lot of the talk when Q3 GDP came out was that these are abysmal numbers, and in many senses they were. You know, GDP growth was only 0.3% quarter on quarter. It was expected to be 0.5, and the annual rate of change came down to 0.8. from 1%. That was a pretty weak annual growth rate. Also, all of the growth came from the public sector spending. In fact, public sector spending contributed 0.6 percentage points to GDP, and private sector spending was flat. Or you may say, how does 0.6 total turn into 0.3? We had a very large rundown in inventories in Q3. Both the exporters, exports are running ahead of their capacity to produce, so they actually ran down their inventories. And also retailers took a view that things were weak, so they decided not to replace orders. They just tend to run down their inventories. So we had one of the biggest inventory accumulations on record, and that detracted 0.4 percentage points from GDP growth. Now, what that means is, absent that reduction in inventories, GDP growth would have been 0.7%. So yeah, that puts a bit of context around that so-called weak number. And it does look as if those inventories are going to make a positive contribution to GDP in Q4, because there's not the same reason for exporters and retailers to keep running down those stocks. For example, we had October retail sales came out. They're expected to be up 0.4%. They're up 0.6%. So very, very strong October reading. And that was on top of some firming running at the end of the last quarter. So it's a very strong start. And that means that, you know, retailers can't keep just running down inventories. Also, we had October international trade came out. And exports rose 3.6% in 1 month in October. Our trade surplus actually roared to $5.95 billion from $4.53. Yeah, that's going to make it difficult just to run that from running down inventories. So inventory decumulation may change. Now, that doesn't take away from the fact that Q3 GDP looks soft. It was mostly coming from the public sector. But private sector is likely to contribute the GDP growth in Q4, and inventory change alone means that, you know, you're starting at around 0.7% growth in GDP for Q4. So that's where things are just on the move and shifting somewhat when we look at those figures. The other part that will be worrying the Reserve Bank too is that we had another fall in productivity. It was down by 0.6% quarter on quarter. And unit labour costs rose by 1.4% in real terms in the quarter. So you know, that weak growth rate is not what the market was saying. Oh, this is going to bring forward perhaps when the Reserve Bank can bring the cash rate down. Highly unlikely. They won't take much comfort from those numbers at all. Moving into this week, we get NAB, business sentiment, business confidence. They both lifted in the month before in October. Business sentiment was plus 7, business confidence was a plus 5. We also get the RBA meeting coming out on Tuesday. That's where I think we'll hear that, you know, so basically nothing's changed. You know, we leave the cash rate at 4.35%. It's still going to take a lot of data to convince us that, you know, we need to change our forecasts on inflation, that, you know, that you know, we're looking to that coming back inside, consistently inside band, way out in the late part of 2026. We still think that's correct. So it's still a long time before we start to bring that cash rate down. And then on Thursday after the RBA meeting, we'll get the latest labour force data. Still looking pretty firm. The market thinks we've got another 25,000 increase in employment. It rose 15,900 going back to the month of October. Participation rate steady at 67.1%. As a result of that, you may get a slight flicker upwards in the unemployment rate to 4.2 from 4.1. But essentially, it's still low and tight as far as the Reserve Bank is concerned. And then finally, moving to Europe. And last week, we had their October unemployment rate. It's still down there at 6.3%, which by European standards is actually low. We think it's horrifically high by Australian standards, but for Europe, it's the lowest in 25 years. We had October producer prices came out. They lifted by 0.4% last month. Admittedly, they'd fallen by 0.6% the month before. And we had pretty soft October retail sales came out in Europe, down 0.5% after a couple of better months going back the month before. Revision to GDP growth, there was no revision. GDP was up 0.4% and up 0.9% year on year. This week in Europe, we're watching the ECB. The ECB has their meeting on Thursday. And yeah, they may try and get one more interest rate cut away. So they're at 3.25% for their deposit rate, may come down to 3%. There is an issue, though, and that is that inflation, like it has many other places, has stopped falling. In fact, it's actually been creeping up in Europe. And you know, this is a story which is building more as we go into next year. For the time being, you know, I think the bond market, after we had the big backup in bond yields, there's been a bit of a rally running through. But I think that will be coming to a halt fairly soon. As far as risk assets are concerned, yes, you have some worries with geopolitics, particularly what's happened in Syria over the course of the weekend. But we're into Santa Rally times, and so that will probably carry us through, particularly with the strong economic readings we've seen running through the US. So the rally in risk assets looks as if it's still got some life in it. But always that warning. Once we get past the festivities, Christmas into New Year, there's a real risk, I think, that we see interest rates marking a bit higher, recognising that interest rates can't come down the way they have been for some central banks, and it's still taking longer for the Reserve Bank, and we'll see those bond yields marking up a bit, and that's when we might start to see some pressure back to risk assets as we go into the new year.